Call all hands. Beat to quarters. Run out the guns. Stand by the starboard battery.
One broadside in, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire!
Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's Indomitable Man of the Sea, Horatio Hornblower.
Herself intended. Would she finally resist Napoleon, come openly into the war as our ally, or would she play for time and try to appease him as she had done before? I had my old friend Captain Bush to dinner in my cabin on the Nonsuch, because I knew he liked sea pie, and my man Brown had prepared one for me with special care. And then, regrettably, I couldn't talk of anything but my impatience. Well, there must be sudden news after all. Why don't we hear? I simply can't understand it, Bush.
We will, we will. It's scarcely a month, you know, since we left Russia.
A month? If I'd known it would be that long, do you think I'd have let Witchwood keep the cutter Clam at Kronstadt?
Excellent sea pie, Horatio. Excellent.
You see, Bush, it's...
Good as the first I ever ate. Aboard the old Renown, remember? Brown prepared it himself, eh?
Stop trying to distract me, will you, Bush? It isn't clever. I tell you this. If we're to sit here in the Baltic, twiddling our thumbs, we'll have to organize something to keep the men's minds busy. A hornpipe competition or, well, even theatricals, perhaps.
Theatricals? You can't be serious, Horatio.
Well, why not? This lack of action is extremely bad for morale, Bush. And what's wrong with theatricals, anyway? Don't forget you were young yourself once. Well, you know, I can remember when... Yes? Come in. Ah, Midshipman Gerard. Well, Mr. Gerard?
I've cut a clam inside the window, sir.
No.
Yes, sir. At least Mr. Holhurst told me to report her, sir.
Well, let me dissuade you, Gerard. Your news is excellent. How far off is she?
How up to windward, sir. We're running down to her. And let me see. Clam signals have dispatches for Commodore, sir.
Well, are you sure?
Why, yes, sir. At least that's what I...
All right. Don't stammer. Always make sure you know your own mind, Mr. Gerard. Now, tell Mr. Hurst to make Commodore to Clam send dispatches on board as soon as practicable. And, well, bring the dispatches here immediately they come on board. All understood, Mr. Gerard?
Yes, sir. Aye, aye, sir.
Not going up yourself, sir?
No, I shall sit right down again and have some more sea pie. Help yourself, Bush. Help yourself.
Yes.
No, I am not going to run up there and stand gawking over the side like some midshipman.
They must be feeling some suspense about Russia back home these days.
It's no more than in his cabin at the moment. Bush, if Bonaparte's main strength could be tied up here in the east this summer... Give Wellington the chance to strike hard in the south. It's our great opportunity, perhaps our last. We'll know soon enough now, won't we, Bush?
Stop worrying. After all, Tsar Alexander did send that stiff reply to Boney's demands. At least, that's what Lord Witchwood said the day we left Kronstadt. You tell me so yourself.
Stiff reply one day may mean soft words the next, says Alexander.
Oh,
hopelessly unpredictable, these Russians.
Come in. Well, Mr. Gerard, what's the latest?
Witchwood. But by all of... You came yourself, did you?
I did indeed, Sir Horatio. By your ship, Clam. Uh-huh. Wait till you hear the news. You will agree my trip was warranted.
Well, come on, then.
Well, Captain Bush, quite like old times, the more than answer.
Well, Witchwood, don't keep us waiting for your news.
Commodore, it's war.
War. It's settled, then. No more procrastination?
We're no longer alone, Hornblower. Now, wait till you've plowed through this dispatch case. 10 days ago, Bonaparte crossed the Niemen with 15 army corps.
Uh-huh.
He's committed to invasion now. He can't turn back.
Invasion. And can Russia hold out, Witchwood?
I wish I knew. But at least he'll have his summer's work cut out for him, which means that we can push ahead in spades.
Yes.
Well, good news,
oh,
eh?
Oh, it's the finest news I've heard in years, Witchwood. Sit down here. Here, give me that dispatch case and your cloak, here. Have some sea pie. Have some wine. Ha, ha, ha. Yours is a welcome face, Bush. You can forget the theatricals. Now we can get on with the war. Witchwood, of course, had much to tell that afternoon. But I must say, for once, the man made highly satisfactory listening. Then there was the dispatch addressed to me by Lord Cathcart, our British ambassador in Russia.
A few polite formalities, and then...
Listen to this, Bush. You will, of course, render all the assistance in your power to our new ally, Russia. The main body of Bonaparte's army is already marching on Moscow, but I am informed that some... 60,000 men under the Duke of Tarentum are now on the northern route to St. Petersburg. The Russian Imperial Staff Agency requires your squadron's assistance at Riga, which, of course, the French must capture before they can move on towards St. Petersburg.
Riga? There's a fine harbor there, sir. Yeah. The city's only a short distance up the river from the Gulf.
Yes, I know, Bush, yes. The ambassador's tone is urgent, to say the least, which wouldn't.
Yeah, with reason, Commodore. Frankly, there's a panic at the Russian court, and Riga is a vital spot, as well as vulnerable.
Mm. Cathcart goes on to ask that I detach the cutter Clam, dispatch her back to England with the news. I don't like losing her. Well, we mustn't delay. Well, no doubt you wish to go with her, Lord Witchwood.
Oh, naturally. When duty calls and all that, you know, Hornblower.
I must ask you to wait while I complete my own dispatches for the Admiralty and a brief letter to my wife. Yes, they won't take long.
Of course.
Captain Bush, I suggest you tell the men that this is their chance to ride home, too. Oh, and one other thing, Witchwood. I shall send my secretary, Mr. Sorker, back to England in your charge to be tried by court-martial. I'll give you all the papers relating to his case.
Very good, Commodore.
I envy you, you know, Witchwood. Oh, yes, a glimpse of England at this time. Heaven alone knows when the rest of us will see it. Day by day, as we bore on, a brassy sun blazed hotter and the breezes almost died. Barely enough wind stirred to carry us even with all our canvas set. It was a full 8 days before we finally crept into the Bay of Riga, and night was falling as I stared out through my glass at this new shore. That's no man's land between the two forces, I imagine. Well, if the Russians weren't still holding the village, there'd be no fires. Our puzzle so far solved at all events.
10 fathoms, sir.
2 fathoms. I'd like to bear up.
Very good. Carry on. Oh, well, the moon's rising.
Boat ahead. On the port bow, sir. She's pulling on.
We have to catch that boat if we can, Mount.
Aye, aye, sir.
Starboard, 2 points. Clear away the gig.
Don't shout, please, Mount. Perhaps they haven't seen us yet.
Right, sir. Boat's crew, stand by.
Whoever they are, Mount, they've not much skill. They should have headed for shoal water. Oars against sail win no races. We need prisoners for information. I'm hoping that boat holds the proper answers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your pistol. I don't suppose I need to shoot again. I wonder if those fellows have... Prisoners were thrust up over the Harvey's side. I saw the star of the Legion of Honor glittering on the chest of one young officer. He would be their leader, I concluded.
I would like to know Monsieur's name and rank, please.
You see, chef de bataillon du corps du génie des armées de l'Empereur.
Major of Engineers, a good catchment.
You understand some English, I gather, sir.
Oui, un peu.
My mind was busy with the problem of how I could induce him to supply me with some facts that I sorely needed. And I had an idea.
I much regret the necessity of taking you prisoners home, especially at the start of such a promising campaign, but possibly I can arrange an exchange at an early date. In case Monsieur has friends with whom he might like me to communicate, I shall do so at my first opportunity.
Marshal Médon, Duke of Tarentum, would be very glad to hear. I am on his staff.
Well, Commander-in-Chief staff. Then you must be chief engineer. Yes, you are important. Oh, that's too bad. After all, you had no reason to suspect a British squadron in this bay.
None whatever. We have been told the contrary. That these Russian villagers are blockades.
They've been supplying you with information, then. Oh, well, all Russians are quite useless, are they not? I suppose your emperor has met with very little opposition from the Russians.
Oh, we have taken Smolensk, and the emperor himself marches on Moscow. Our divisions will soon occupy St. Petersburg.
Indeed. But possibly the Dwina River may become an obstacle. Riga, too, stands in your path.
Oh, not for long. Just one bold push across the river mouth, and the Russians will dissolve the moment we have turned their flank.
So that's what he'd been up to when we nabbed him, reconnoitering for a good place to land French forces across the mouth of the Dwina.
A daring move, sir, worthy of all the great traditions of the French army. Of course, you have to cross the river before your operations can proceed. No doubt you have sufficient landing craft for your forces.
Problems like that do not hold us, monsieur. We have barges, a score of them. Seize that Mitau before these stupid Russians could destroy them.
Oh, indeed. But, of course, the Russians still hold both sides of the river.
Well, for the moment. They hold on to our side, the western side, by nothing but their fingernails, however. But do not think me fool enough to reveal military information, sir.
No chance of wheedling anything more from the cocky young major for the present. But at least I'd learned about those captured barges and that they planned an attack soon directly across the river's mouth.
Oh, well, Russians are always incompetent, isn't it so, Major? A prompt assault on your part is, of course, it's a clever plan, allowing them no chance of digging in. But you will pardon me now, sir, if I attend to my duties? We'll return to the squadron, Mr. Mind, if you please.
Armed with that tidy bit of information, I slept better than I'd hoped that night in an alien harbor. No doubt the Russians here at Riga were all confirmed landlubbers, but I could be counted on, I felt, to cope with this type of problem. I was even gratified, in fact, that the French were not discounting good sea water in their plans. The next morning, in my cabin, I had a conference with all six captains of my squadron.
It's quite clear, then, gentlemen. The Russians still hold both river banks, the western one precariously. The French must cross that river if they're to surround Riga. When they try it, we shall bag as many barges as we can.
Yes, we will.
We'll carry out the patrol I've outlined each evening at sundown. The French will scarcely attempt such a barefaced plan by daylight. Now, are there any questions?
You said, I think, sir, that my sloop Raven would hold one end of the defense line.
Quite correct, Mr. Cole. You'll anchor each night on the very edge of the shoals to westward, the French side. It's your light draft that dictates that position. Mr. Vickery and Lotus guard the other riverbank.
All right, sir.
The rest of us hold stations in between, and armed small boats will row guard at the mouth. Are your stations understood?
Aye, sir.
And that will be all for the moment, gentlemen. Oh, one last word, please. Captain Cole spoke of our defense line, yet it's not so much a defense as a trap.
Let them thrust their heads well into the noose before any alarm is given. Otherwise, we'll simply scare them off. Very well, gentlemen. Thank you for your attendance.
At dusk, my gig conveyed me up the yellow Dwina River, past the village at the mouth, to the bustling wharves of Riga. There the governor met me, amid a crowd of other dignitaries. By their demeanor, you would never guess they lived in a besieged city. My coxswain Brown was in charge of my boat's crew, and I told him to wait there for my return. But I soon realized it would be difficult to have a private talk with General Esnoff.
Commodore, may I present the Intendant of Livonia, Count Canerini, and the Countess. They, too, are recently arrived at Riga.
Why, well, yes. I know the Countess. We met at the Tsar's court.
Another Russian dinner, Commodore? Do you feel you are equal to it this time?
Well, I'm learning, Countess. At least I shan't give my whole attention to the hors d'oeuvre.
Sir.
Brown, is that you?
What's that racket? Must be French barges at the river, sir, and our patrol's resisting them.
Is our gig crew at the wharf?
Ready and waiting for you, sir.
Oh, come on then, Brown. What are we waiting for?
Is that you, Cole? Come alongside, please.
Aye, aye, sir. Oh, quite an eventful night. But their barges didn't get across, sir. Most of them pulled back.
Pulled back? What caused them to?
I was the one sent up the alarm rocket, sir. What? Just as you planned. Then all hands fell in the small boats pulled for the river here. The French...
Mr. Cole, you sent up that rocket the moment you saw them?
Why, yes, sir, certainly. Cole,
well, it's too late now.
And all of our boats approaching, sir. Lotus is shutter, I believe.
At your Lotus.
Aye, aye, sir. Bring her alongside the Commodore, men.
I thought I saw you, sir. Things aren't as bad as they might be. Now, that's you, Mr. Cole? We bagged 5 barges on our side, sir. Cut them off before they could get back to their own shore.
5, Vickery? That's more like it. How many prisoners?
Well, I should say nearly 1,000, sir. Roughly 200 Frenchmen to a barge. The rest turned back at the alarm.
Some disappointment. I'd hoped for a catch of at least 12 barges, perhaps 2,500 men. And yet, it was my own fault, too. Who else placed Cole in his key position? At all events, thanks to young Vickery, we'd headed off the crossing for that night. Strange people, Russians. That interminable ballet was still going on as I entered the opera house. Distraction, sir. The Navy's job, of course. I regret I had to leave without advising you. The French were attempting to cross the river mouth in barges. We managed...
How can we thank you enough, sir? You have struck a valiant blow for Mother Russia.
Thank you, General. I feel I ought to warn you, though. They're sure to try this plan again, and if they do, we'll...
Of course. We must talk of all these. But now you must come back into the box. You miss so much of this gala night.
Well, sir, look, it's late, you know, and I...
But I insist, Commodore. The ballet has been so beautiful. Come.
Thank you. Oh, you first, General. No doubt the war can wait another evening.
Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.